Listeners, you've heard the saying, April showers bring May flowers. Well, the same can be said about co-parenting. If navigating the beginning of the year has been difficult due to an ex's alcohol abuse, I have the perfect solution, SoberLink. SoberLink is more than a portable alcohol monitoring tool. It's a pathway to new beginnings and stronger, healthier family dynamics. How it works is simple. Your co-parent will test at scheduled times. It has built-in facial recognition, which confirms their identity. There are tamper sensors that flag any attempts to cheat, and results get sent instantly to your phone, giving you peace of mind that your kids are with a sober parent. Honestly, when it comes to child safety in custody and alcohol cases, there is no system that I recommend more. So lay the groundwork for brighter days ahead and visit SoberLink.com/Susan to learn more and get $50 off on your device.
Coming up on today's episode of the Divorce and Beyond podcast.
And whenever you go through transition, whether it's in your relationship, whether you lose a loved one, whether you see your marriage fall apart, whether your business collapses, it's hard to know and believe that you're enough and that you matter. But everybody needs to know and believe for themselves is that they're enough, that they're valuable, that they have something to offer.
Hello, and welcome to the Divorce and Beyond podcast. I'm Susan Guthrie, your host. As a top divorce attorney and family law mediator for 30 years, I know what you need to know to get through your divorce, and most importantly, how to move beyond it to thrive and transition to your new future. My experts and I are here to give you the insider view into the process, so listen in for the wisdom and expert information you need on your journey through divorce and beyond. Hello, and welcome to today's podcast. I'm Susan Guthrie, your host, and listeners, today I have a special episode because you know that I am always talking about the fact that divorce is an opportunity, and my guests today are actually here to help you know how to turn this moment of time as a challenge into that opportunity. And we're going to talk more about that. But first, let me introduce you to my wonderful guests. I'm very, very happy to have them both here because they not only are friends, new and old, but they also just launched their brand new book that is on topic today, although a little off topic, but we'll talk about why I thought they were the perfect people to talk about this topic. Jennifer Mulholland and Jeff Shuck are the founders of Plenty Consulting. And as I mentioned, they're the co-authors of the brand new book, Leading with Light, Choosing Conscious Leadership When You Are Ready for More. And they have very interesting backgrounds. As always, I'm going to ask them to tell you a little bit about their backstory. But just so that you know, Jennifer is an author, a strategist, an alchemist, I need to know more about that, Jennifer, executive coach, a certified Reiki and Theta healer, and she's trained in shamanic and energy medicine. I mean, she's like 10 of my guests all rolled into one person. And Jeff is an accomplished leader, entrepreneur, and he's got lifelong experience in leadership development, organizational growth strategy, and social impact. And now you're all saying, well, what the heck does all that maybe have to do with turning divorce into an opportunity? Well, let's talk about that. Together, they co-own Plenty Consulting, and they have coached thousands of conscious leaders to achieve better results by helping them lead and live with more awareness, alignment, and intention. Now, I know you recognize those three words because we talk about them all the time on the podcast. And here's something further that let me know they were our people. Their company motto or their tagline is, "You have the answers, we'll help you find them." And that's what they're here to help you all to do today. They're going to help you, not as I'm always talking about, you know, telling you that divorce is not a failure, it's not a shame, it's not an absolute end. It is an opportunity for that new future, an aligned future, a future of fulfillment. But that's so overwhelming, you often get stuck. So we're going to talk about all of this today. The book is going to help you get there as well. But first, Jeff and Jennifer are here to get us started. Thank you both so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having us. We're thrilled to be part of the conversation today.
Thank you so much, Susan. It's great to be here.
Well, and this is a really important conversation for people, because I know that for many of my listeners, they're in this moment in time where they are completely overwhelmed, right? And they're dealing with all the minutiae of, you know, pulling together their financial statements and coming up with agreements on, you know, where the kids are going to be next weekend and all the different things. And then I come along going, and guess what, guys, get excited. Divorce is your opportunity to create a new future. And, you know, the record scratches, comes to an end right there. They're like, are you crazy? How do I do that, Susan? And that's the question. And I read your book, loved your book, loved it. And the book has the path, right? The book is the guide. This is what you say in the foreword. The book is the guide for those that want to navigate a life with more awareness, alignment, and intentionality. This is what you do with your business clients. But I saw so much, you know, so much crossover into just living a life of awareness, alignment, and intentionality. So, you know, how did you bring that thought into what you do with your clients, those thoughts into what you do with your clients who are really like CEOs and high level business people, not generally people who are going through divorce?
What a lovely question. Wow. And a deep question to start us off kind of right in the deep end, which maybe is how we all feel when we're in transition, right? That's what I would say. I don't know that we would say, I'm interested, Jennifer, to how you'd answer this, that our clients are necessarily only CEOs. Some are CEOs. They're also parents, spouses. You know, some are executives. They're also sons and daughters. Some have wonderful marriages. Some have marriages that are in transition or feel like they've collapsed and failed. And just by and large, we work with human beings. Right. And to be human is to go through transition. So I guess the first thing I'd say to everybody listening is one of the things we've learned that everybody needs to know and believe for themselves is that they're enough, that they're valuable, that they have something to offer. And whenever you go through transition, whether it's in your relationship, whether you lose a loved one, whether you see your marriage fall apart, whether your business collapses, whether it's just a difficult time for you, it's hard to know and believe that you're enough and that you matter. And so I think our work, I'll stop there, but I think our actual work evolved from seeing that to help people understand how they could create a plan to make the next steps, you have to start by being willing to see where you are, and you have to be able to cultivate for yourself this belief that I deserve to be here and I deserve to be seen for that. And we can't see that if we can't see it in ourselves.
I love that. I think it's so interesting when we have big changes, whether it's in a relationship or a career move or something we can't see comes out of the blue, gets our attention or changes everything. There's really no instructions for how we should navigate moving forward. We believe that we've been given this incredible privilege to be here on Earth School, and there's really no instructions for how to grow up in Earth School, right? We got to figure it out on our own. And yet we believe that we actually do have the answers inside. And that used to piss me off so much when people would say, oh, well, you know, the answers just lie inside of you. Well, thanks. That's really helpful, right? Well, how do I?
If I knew the answer.
How do I access that? And so from our co-leadership and living as human beings and leading, we really found a way for ourselves that works to help the path unfold unique to each one of us. And that really comes from being more aware with what lights us up, aware with what works for us, becoming more aware what doesn't. And often divorce and separation and change happens because we have a realization that what used to work for me doesn't anymore, or I've outgrown this stage or these clothes or this person because I am becoming something more and I'm ready for more. And that's what Leading with Light really talks about, is how do we access the inner wisdom, that inner light that can show us what's on and off for us, and then help us become more aligned and committed to align our life and our work and our way with that, and then make choices that are based on intention, meaning we are in the driver's seat to choose consciously what we're feeding, what we're growing, what we're participating in, and then what we're not. So that's the frame, but love the question. And we're still learning how to navigate the path in all the roles that we play through this lens.
Everything about what you just said, I mean, just it, honestly, it makes me happy, because first of all, I know that people, that you said it pissed you off, because people always say that the answers lie within you, you know, and I know so many people, as they're going through divorce, and we're talking about, you know, well, life after divorce, you know, where are you going, build toward a new, your new future. And people say to me all the time, how, you know, I'm at this place in my life where I thought I had a future. What my future looked like was married to X, having children with X, and moving forward in life. And now that's all gone. How am I supposed to know what this new future looks like that you, Susan, call this grand opportunity? And something that you said in the book, and you both kind of just alluded to this, is, you know, we think of our lives as stages, and we have different roles in our lives, right? And something you said in the book that I thought, you know, seemed so simple, but for me anyway, reading it was like, God, yes, why hasn't that ever just jumped out at me so clearly, was that we have one life. We bring all of our many different personas to that one life, but we have one life. So the person you are in your work life is the one, same one that comes home to your married life. And that formerly married person is the same person you're bringing into your new life as a single person. And, you know, so all of your different selves converge. And Jennifer, you just said it, right? You grow and you change. Right. So accessing that wisdom within yourself is really the key to all of this in dealing with these big changes.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's giving ourselves permission to get to be vulnerable, showing our full selves wherever we show up. That takes practice and a ton of courage to figure out and to do. But that idea that we don't live a work life or a professional life and a personal life, we are the common denominator in both, wherever we choose to show up. The tricky thing is when we dress a certain way, act a certain way, hold back ourselves, we forget how exhausting and draining that is. It's not sustainable. Now, granted, there are environments in relationships, in work environments, in politics, in government, in schools, where the culture itself doesn't support being all of you there, right? And so that really starts to show up and say, wow, is that a choice or a trade-off I'm willing to make anymore? And is this feeding my light? Is it revitalizing me, or is it causing dis-ease? Is it literally draining, you know, the life force out of me? Because it takes a lot of energy to hold back the essence, the natural state that we were here, we were born to shine, we were born to express. And holding that back, we often forget when we compartmentalize ourselves in a relationship or in a role, that we are actually dimming our greatest value of our natural essence, and it's exhausting, and we end up paying the price down the road. So there's a cost to it.
Well, and let's tie it into the other theme that you had introduced, Susan, which is just how uncomfortable it is to go through transition, right? That, most of the people we work with were successful for a long period of time. And even most marriages work for a while, right? And we get practiced at being successful. You don't get practiced at like it failing. So for a lot of people, a huge failure or a huge tragedy is really new. It's a new experience and it feels so uncomfortable. It feels like you're out of your bearings, that you're lost, that none of the things that you used to depend on matter anymore or are dependable to you. And then when you're in that transition, then there's people like us that come along and say, well, look at all these other people who navigated this. And then you look at those people who navigated it. And honestly, it's not at all helpful because they're already through the rough spot, right? And so we forget a couple of things. One, we forget that looking at one person's success story was another person's mess, that for someone to get to the other side of it, they had that same mess that we feel. They had that same unsettledness. They had that same feeling of like, I'm a failure, I'm lost. And so there's some comfort that comes there. But I think more deeply to what Jen is saying is it's so hard to remember. And I think this is really the essence of our work and the essence of the book. In the times when we feel lost, discouraged, hopeless, like a complete failure, like we've let ourselves down and we've let our children down and our families down, we actually still have all the talents, all the strengths, all the characteristics that we had in those moments when we felt superhuman and at the top of our game and competent beyond words. We haven't changed at all. Our circumstances have changed. And in the book, we use the metaphor in a lot of ways of rafting down the river. You know, when you get thrown out of your raft, wow, it sucks. It's cold. You get twisted around. Yeah, you think you're going to maybe drown, but you're the same person you were in the raft. You know, everything around you has changed, but you haven't changed. And I know this can sound really trite when you're in a place of just completely losing your bearings. But it is where we start with people. We start, okay, bring yourself back to who you are, not how you identify or how others identified you, but who you are. Let's figure out what hasn't changed through this transition. And as we can get someone to walk through that process, they start to see, well, there's a lot about me that hasn't changed. And the things that are changing aren't a lot of times the things I'm choosing to change myself. So it can be an empowering experience, but that's not to say it doesn't start being completely messy and unsettled and uncomfortable and sorrowful and all of those things.
Yeah, it's funny. In the book, you call them the Mack truck moments. And I thought, oh my God, for my listeners, the Mack truck moments will be instantly recognizable, right? Because most of them feel like their lives have been hit by a Mack truck. But there's actually something beautiful in what you just said, Jeff, because, and just in this entire concept of, yes, everything may have been all broken or has been scattered and is separate in different places, but that doesn't mean that all the pieces aren't still there. It's just sort of maybe you're going to be putting them back together in a new and different way. So your puzzle of yourself, maybe some pieces will be able to be a little shinier and a little out there more, because we do tend to, you talked about relationships that, you know, have been going along for a period of time. We tend to settle into those and become certain things within those relationships. And some, Jen, I think it gets to what you were saying, right? Like sometimes the way that all unfolds doesn't honor everything within us. Often that's why you find yourself going through that divorce. And so part of maybe putting your pieces, after getting hit by that Mack truck, putting your pieces back together might be your opportunity to look at which pieces you want to shine a bit more, put at the top of the puzzle, and how you might want to be putting them back together in a new and different way. But sort of some of it must be having to even identify what the pieces are, who you are, what your values are, what the things, one of my favorite phrases, you just used it, John, was things that light you up. Haven't we always, we tend to forget those.
Or, you know, or we go in phases where we kind of get distance and then we're called back to the question, who am I? Like, what do I really want? What, the identification of like, who is that person even asking the question? And the Mack truck, just to my spiritual teacher long ago used that phrase, is how I picked it up. She's no longer here in physical form, but that was the idea that why wait for something to come out of the blue that changes everything? We're given the signs often, the signals leading up to the Mack truck moment, not all the time, because you'll hear in the book, there are times where things literally did not get any indication where coming came, especially for Jeff. But you know, what would it look like if we were paying more attention to the little whispers that were telling us something was on and off? So the grander question that you just leaned to was, well, who am I? And in the book, we really kind of frame out four lights of conscious leadership that are aiming to help answer that question around the identification that I'm light. We use that term. It's clearly the name of the book. But beyond that, it's like our essence, our soul, that we're more than our body, we're more than our circumstance, we're more than our mind and our thoughts and our thinking. So if that could be true, maybe you buy it or believe it, and just journey with us for a moment, that if I am something bigger or grander than my thinking, than my body, than my emotions, than my circumstance, then who am I? And we really believe that a leader is a light. You are light. You come from source. We all come from the same source, whatever you name that to be. It could be God. It could be Jesus. It could be Christ. It could be nature. It could be divine math. It could be the universe. But we're made up of a something that is bigger than ourselves, that we can't even, a lot of us don't even identify or know how to put that into words. And as you're hearing me explain, like, I'm using a lot of different language to explain a simple construct that you are light. But I love the question of, when we're at these crossroads, it really surfaces a grander inquiry of being curious with who am I now? What is emerging inside of me now? Where am I leaning in, and where do I light up?
Yeah. And I think I love how you just said that. And I love where we're heading, because I think thinking specifically about someone listening to this being like, hey, I'm in the middle of the mess right now. Something about how you said the metaphor, Susan, of putting the pieces back together. Our goal is to always help our clients, you know, build something amazing. But often the path is to say, wait, just let the pieces be broken. Just let them be out there. We don't need to be in a hurry to fix. And often the things in our lives kind of get us to that transition point, or the Mack truck hits us, figuratively or literally, because we're so distracted about where we're trying to go that we haven't been present with where we are. And I think this is another one of those techniques or things to say that sounds like total bullshit when you're listening to it, and everything feels like it's falling away on you. But we are asked often, with the way we even live our lives, with how we are made as human beings, we're asked to be comfortable with uncertainty. We're asked to be comfortable with knowing that things decay on us. We're asked to be comfortable with things evolve. And so I think often people are rushing to, especially in business, but I often feel like personally too, people are rushing for the next incarnation, where sometimes there's mourning that's needed. There's observation that's needed. There's holding space that's needed. There's a week that's needed to cry on the couch, or a month, or half a year, right? Just like noticing what you notice. And actually, before we even get to the lights in the book that Jen's talking about, we talk about just the practice of awareness, of just seeing what is without editing it, right? Without explaining it, without like, he didn't call me back. And then not going to the, so that must mean he's found someone else already. And that would, no, just like, well, that's what you know. How do you feel? Right now I'm experiencing feelings of grief and sorrow and anger. Okay, just being with those, seeing those. And when we can, we actually ironically get connected to that light that Jen's talking about, because the more we can see, oh, I'm having feelings of anger, I'm having feelings of grief, instead of chalking ourselves out of them, right? Then we see, oh, and I'm also laughing at something my daughter said, and I'm also interested in something I just saw outside the window. And we can allow ourselves to be part of this experience without feeling like we're a puzzle that needs to always be put back together. So again, it's like there's not an easy way to learn how to be human. We learn how to be human through these periods of disruption and chaos. But if we can be present to them instead of rushing ourselves through them, there's huge opportunities waiting for us. To what you're saying, there's huge opportunities to find out we're okay. We're going to be okay. We're lovable. We're wanted. We're desirable. But we have to believe that of ourselves, right? We have to be willing to believe that of ourselves.
Yeah. And that's where the opportunity is, right? That's where the opportunity lies. But it's, I love that you're pointing out, right, that this isn't, everyone always is in such a rush to get to that new future or the beyond, as I call it. And it's so wonderful that you're talking about awareness, because as my listeners are probably tired of hearing me say, but awareness is the beginning of everything. Everything. It's not the end, but until you're aware, there's nowhere to go. And you know, Jen, you somewhat alluded to both of your backstories, and they do, they're so different, but both you brought both of you, well, together in your business partnership, but I suspect in many ways in your thinking and in how you approach your work with people. I wonder if you could just share a little bit about each of your stories, because I think that will help. Just, I always find there's so much to resonate in with how people came to be where they are.
That's a whole like long podcast, but I'll
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, the high level.
In 2 minutes, but well, Jeff and I met 25 plus years ago in the tech industry in the .com days in Salt Lake City. And we worked with a digital tech company creating the .edu. So before universities and colleges were online, we were one of those startups basically digitizing the unified digital campus. And Jeff stayed on for 2 years, and then he went into the nonprofit sector leading really large scale events for breast cancer and AIDS and other causes. And I stayed for about 10 years, kind of climbing the corporate ladder through a lot of mergers and acquisitions, and really loved leading people. I loved the strategy and I loved innovation. And those were a lot of roles I played until my body started speaking to me. And it was one of those like, pay attention, something's off here, and you'll hear. Maybe we'll talk about that as a tool or exercise to practice of how do you know when something is on or off for you. But my body started to talk to me, and I had an amazing job. I loved it, but I was spiritually in the closet. It just wasn't okay to bring my healing training, my energy work that I was trained with as a really little girl, and always was fascinating in metaphysics and astrology and energy medicine. And I really didn't feel safe or comfortable talking about it there. But it was this whole part of Jennifer that felt like I was in the closet. And so a whole bunch of different signs and escorts kind of came to my path. And I decided to leap and start my own executive coaching company, which led me to a couple of other businesses before Jeff and I reconnected about a decade ago. He had already started Plenty first year, doing lots of nonprofit consulting. And I was currently running my own health and wellness technology company, really trying to create more communities of well-being around the country. And so we decided to merge our different approaches. So my background is lots in well-being, whole person, kind of human potential, really have been wired in leadership and strategy. And the alchemy part is really about bringing kind of negative, dense energy and cleansing and uplifting it so it can be as positive as possible. So been a wired optimist since I was born, and I've had a mission to help raise the consciousness of people on the planet. And I really believe that our future is bright, and I've been just hopeful and wired that way. So how can I not only help other people and teams be their best, but all of that starts with myself. So I've been a seeker on that path of personal growth and have loved the intersection of the business and the personal, and the spiritual and the alchemy all in the same setting. And thank God humanity is waking up where it doesn't feel so woo-woo to bring meditation into business and to bring some of the other conversation points of well-being into the business sector. And I love playing with that intersection.
Love your phrase, out of the closet, yes. Right? You know, where it wasn't in a, you weren't in a, in a work environment where you could be all of you. And for my listeners, right, who may be in a relationship environment where they are maybe not feeling that they are able to be all of who they are. I hear that so often from people. You know, everyone thinks that divorce comes about so often because of a Mack truck incident. You know, I got cheated on, or my husband gambled and spent all our money and all of that. And much, much more often, it is just that, you know, two people are in a relationship, but they're not really together. They're not really, they haven't grown together. They've grown apart. And their reasons for being together are so vastly different. So there's so much in there that, you know, maybe it's the coming out of the closet of your relationship in whatever way that may be. And then Jeff, your journey was very different to finding the path.
Yeah. Maybe if we did the movie trick where we rewind to where Jen was talking about being together when she mentioned that we worked together for a couple of years and then I left because my mom had died of cancer when I was pretty young. I was in my late 20s. She was actually pretty young. So I went to a fundraising firm and for about 10 or 12 years, grew a company that did large scale fundraising. And I really felt, I tell the story in the book much longer, but the short version is, I really felt like I was doing something to help my mom and people like her mom. And that got shattered one day in November in 2010. I got a call from my sister, and it wasn't a Mack truck. I think it was a 15-passenger van, but my dad had been killed in a car accident just on a random Saturday. And it really shook me to my core. I think not only losing my second parent, but I had constructed an identity that was around the idea that we could help people, that we could make a difference for the people who were suffering. And I still believe that is true. But at the time, maybe speaking to the rough transitions that we're talking about, people who listen to the podcast go through, it really ripped my identity away. This thing that I spent 80 hours a week raising money to help people who were suffering, like my mom, and right, so that means no one's going to suffer again. And then to just have this most random thing happen, it broke my life. It did. And I'm so lucky that my wife was patient and that my kids were patient and my business partners at the time were patient. But I call 2010 the lost year. You know, I just was lost. I went on antidepressants that were helpful for a time until they weren't, and tried other things that were helpful for a time until they weren't, and just had this moment of awareness. One day I tell the story of looking in the book of one morning, just somehow I remember like it was yesterday, going to shave and looking at myself in the mirror and just seeing this tired, lost boy, is how I felt. And so it was just the kind of awareness. And I think the transition that we've been talking about having enough space to see, like, this isn't working for me. And I want to be something more than this. I don't want to just be the guy who lost his parents. So I have to do something about that. And more to say, and both of us have more to say in the book, obviously, or we were just on a podcast and not written a book. But it was the start of, I think, a more conscious attempt to understand what I wanted and how to serve people. And And I'm glad for it because it led to reconnecting with Jen and us saying, you know, we want to do work that really didn't have an analogy, I think, at the time. And as Jen just said, it's gotten easier over the last 10 years to talk to people about why their emotions matter, about why workplace well-being matters, why personal well-being is more than just your mindfulness app, you know, why we should expect more from relationships, but it actually starts by loving ourselves. All of those things are much easier now to talk about than they were, I think, 10 years ago when we were getting started. But it's been an incredible journey, you know, buoyed by a lot of trusting people who've trusted us with their lives and their transitions too. So I guess that's the short version.
Well, it's, you know, thank you, both of you, for sharing those journeys, because I think one of the things that helps people so much, I know my listeners comment on this all the time, is that when they hear the backstories of people, whether it's, you know, I had one lady on who, you know, wrote a book about finding out that the grandfather that she had grown up with as a hero, he was a war hero in the village that she grew up in Yugoslavia. And it turns out she found out and was the person who exposed him as a Nazi war criminal. And people were like, Susan, what does that have to do with divorce? And we were talking about sort of what you were just talking about, Jeff, right? That identity that you thought you had, or that role that you had. She thought she was a person, one person, and then her entire identity had been ripped away in this large, very different way, but still dealing with loss, dealing with the change and in life, knowing good versus bad. I mean, all of it's a fascinating story. I allude to that one, but I hear the echoes of that in both of what you're saying. And so it's not just that you help other people, it's your own journeys have gone through these moments in time, whether Mack truck or quieter moments of internal knowing that there needed to be a change. Listeners, we're going to end part one here, but be sure to come back on Thursday for part two of this very special episode, because Jeff and Jen have so much more to share with you on finding the light in your beyond, and I don't want you to miss a thing. Until then, if you want to check out the book, you can find it on Amazon. I'll have a link in the show notes, or you can just go to leadingwithlightthebook.com. I'll see you on Thursday. Thank you for joining me today on the Divorce and Beyond podcast. I hope you found some information and inspiration to help you on this journey. Please join me every Monday at 6 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for a new episode. And if you like the show, please take the time to subscribe and leave me a 5-star review on iTunes. You can also find more information on the website at divorceandbeyondpod.com, where you'll find links to the YouTube channel, transcripts of the episodes, and other bonus content. So I'll see you next week to help you move through your divorce and beyond.